Welcome to Poolesville Presbyterian Church. We are located in the town of Poolesville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolesville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You're always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. Our scripture reading comes from the book of Psalms, chapter 146. In his message titled, The Prince, Reverend David Williams tells us that we normally think about this moment and act on impulse. What we should be doing is thinking about God's will and purpose, feeding the hungry, providing justice, caring for and lifting up others. These are what is important to God. Let us now join Reverend Williams as he explains God's word.
Please be seated. We gather in the calm and reflection of this place, coming out of a culture that does not cherish calm and does not cherish reflection. The society in which we find ourselves encourages us to think only in the moment, to think about what our appetite is in the now, to think about the way we feel in this instant, and to then act upon that. It is a society driven by impulse and the moment, and that often casts us away from the calmness and care that comes from contemplation and reflection. As we gather out of that place of scattering, we know that that scattering has an impact on our souls, that it guides us to decide in ways that are not compassionate or gracious, that do not look to God's future, but only into the moment. That affects all of us. And so in this time, let's admit that impact and together pray the prayer of confession. It's printed in our bulletins. Please join with me in praying it. Gracious God, all around us, our culture tells us we can have whatever we want, whenever we want it. Our every desire is a click and a credit card charge away. We are encouraged to act impulsively, to chase our desires wherever they may take us. As we do this, we find ourselves increasingly lost. We forget the deep wisdom that comes from reflection and patience. And we both compromise our own future and the future of the world that has been trusted to our care. Forgive us, Lord. In the name of Christ, please forgive us. Amen. Listen now for the assurance of God's pardon. Friends, who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old life has gone. A new life has begun. Know that you are forgiven and be at peace. Amen. Let's now open our hearts and minds again to the hearing of God's word in Scripture. Today's third Scripture reading will be the 146th Psalm. You can follow along on page 581 of your pew Old Testament. Let's listen a third time for God's holy word. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord. As long as I live, I will sing praises to my God all my life long. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortals, in whom there is no help. When their breath departs, they return to the earth. On that very day, their plans perish. Happy are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He upholds the orphan and the widow, but the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever, your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations and the hearts and the minds of each and every one gathered here, grant that they be acceptable in your sight, O our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In the thick of this year, I find myself thinking about leadership a lot and power a lot. What is it that makes a person a leader? What is it that makes a leader effective? And why does it take us so long to do this as a nation? Why does this election season make us wish sometimes that a meteor might strike or that Jesus would just come back already? It's a source of fascination for me. And so I will pick up books on leadership every once in a while. And I recently read a classic book on leadership that I had been meaning to take and fully digest. And I'd read excerpts of it, but I'd never waded through the whole thing. And so, in the interest of actually knowing something about something, I sat down with it. A couple nice, relaxing evenings, sitting down with Niccolo Machiavelli's Renaissance classic, The Prince. The Prince, for some reason, wasn't included in my pastoral leadership excellence course in seminary. It doesn't make its way into seminary readings all that often. And I'm reading Machiavelli as one of those things that sessions don't like to hear from their pastors. For good reason. I mean, Niccolo's little book is something of a success. It's so well received that his name has become an adjective used to describe the coldest and most calculating approach to leadership and power. And if you read The Prince in its entirety, it's easy to see why. It instructs princes, monarchs, and tyrants on how to maintain their power over people. It extols repeatedly the necessity of violence and the necessity of deceit. It talks about the merits of being feared rather than loved. It suggests that the best way to maintain power over a land you have conquered and a people you have conquered is to make sure they always stay poor. Take their land, give it to your friends. That way your friends will like you and they'll have no land and they will remain in your power forever. Practical advice. In a couple of pungent sections, which are particularly striking, Machiavelli counsels the systematic extermination of your enemies is the best way to maintain power over your land. If you take a land, don't just kill the king. Kill their whole family. Works perfectly. This is a Game of Thrones writ into the bloody mess of human history, and I'm sure a dog-eared, well-worn copy of The Prince rests in the library of House Lannister. But what is most peculiar about The Prince, and what I didn't anticipate in reading it, was its tone. It does not read like a celebration. Not like, this is awesome, you have so much power. It does not have the cold-hearted celebration of the powerful individual that you would find in Nietzsche, or that you would find in Ayn Rand. The Prince reads like a lament. Machiavelli does not write the book saying, this is the best of all possible worlds, this is the way it should be. Over and over again, Niccolo says, you have to lead through power, but that's just because you're kind of evil, and this whole thing is evil, and what you do is wrong. And if you know about Machiavelli's life, this is understandable. He was living in Florence and wrote the book, The Prince, in 1513, which was, and dedicated it to a member of the Medici family. And the Medicis, who had swept their power through Italy, they were the same family that had imprisoned and tortured Machiavelli for his support of the Florentine government. And he wrote this book to the princes who had tortured him. And so he writes, "Human beings, princes included, are terrible, fallen, wretched creatures." And that's his justification for why a prince must rule as they do. It's his reason for giving permission to do wet, unpleasant, and nasty things to your political opponents. Monarchs, he says, just can't be kind and compassionate, because whenever leadership is in the hands of a single person, it just means everything's going to be evil. And that's sort of odd. I didn't expect that in Machiavelli. I expected a little more, yeah, this is great. None of that. I also didn't know that Machiavelli, just because I knew the name, didn't have monarchy as his primary political philosophy. He felt monarchs were kind of the worst way to do things. His preference, which was revealed in his lesser-known writings, was for government by republic. Rule by one person, Machiavelli argued, left a country weak for two reasons. First, that person is always looking out for themselves. They want to cement power for themselves and for their family, and they don't really care that much about the people who keep them in place. And the other reason, he says, princes will always fail is that a single individual doesn't have everyone's gifts. A prince has a personality, and that personality shapes how they respond to things. And so if you have a leader who is brash, bold, and fierce, that might be helpful in a time of war, but that same brash, fierce leader won't have the temperament to govern in a time of peace, or won't know how to handle a time of famine or disease. Machiavelli didn't like princes all that much, which came as a surprise. And he wasn't the only one. That doubt about power in the hands of a single individual, about the ephemeral dynamics of a human being becoming the focus of everything, now that's hardly new. It's not new, because that skepticism has been around for thousands of years, and it's part of the basic skepticism about princes that rests in the 146th Psalm this morning. Here, a song of praise that casts doubt on princely power. It comes at the beginning of the end of the book of Psalms, and it's the first of a sequence of hallelujah chorus psalms that wrap up this collection of ancient Hebrew music. It's literally that. Psalms 146 through 150 all begin and end with the Hebrew phrase, hallelujah, which is praise the Lord in Hebrew. Praise the Lord, it says, beginning and end. And the song then calls, unusually for a psalm, for the thing to be praising to be your soul, your identity, your whole self. There are only two other psalms in the 150 song collection that include that. Sing from the whole of yourself this praise. And then the psalm rejects the power of those in power, rejects princes, kings, rulers of this world. And that's kind of odd if you know the context in which most of the psalms would have been sung, because psalms are liturgies, typically temple liturgies. And the temple in Jerusalem, at the heart of power, folded up with the power of kings, now that's a strange place to be singing. Kings are nothing. And yet, that's what this song presents us with. Our songwriter reminds the listener that those who have power or find themselves in positions of leadership are just as ephemeral and fleeting as any living creature. And it says, look to this person with their shine, with their glory, with their soldiers, with their castle, and say, that's nothing. that power doesn't mean anything. And against that power, there is an image presented of God's presence, of God's justice, saying that justice and balance for those who are struggling and in need is an essential part of the divine will. The assertion of the psalmist is that the universe, all of it, falls on the sovereign power of God, and it doesn't bear resemblance to the kind of power that kings or princes have. I mean, what does a prince need? A prince needs to maintain power. That was Machiavelli's fundamental observation. But God, what possible need would the creator of the universe have for the machinations of power? What need would God have for that? The answer, none. No need. What matters instead to a God that is all creative, all knowing, and compassionate from that knowledge, what is significant is justice, because God knows the suffering of the poor and the hungry just as deeply as God knows the struggle, the pleasures and power of the prince. The two are the same. There is no difference. God is no respecter of persons. And so the emphases the psalmist gives us over and over again reinforce what matters to the divine in the face of that imbalance that human power creates. What matters for God is justice for the oppressed, food for the hungry, freedom for prisoners. The people who don't matter are the ones that matter to God. What matters is those souls that are broken and bowed down by life, those who do not have social status, those who find themselves as strangers in a strange land. That is what matters. It's not Machiavelli, but he understood that. He understood that those images rising from Scripture define the way we should truly be in relation to one another. And that's an important thing for us to hold on to, particularly in this year when we are increasingly asked to turn our fealty and turn power over to one person, lined up as partisans. And there are things we need to hear from both Scripture and the peculiar witness of Niccolo about princes. I think in particular we need to be aware of the spiritual danger that rises when we place fealty to an individual over fealty to justice and the well-being of a people. And that fealty to an individual is a hard thing for us to get past because we're persons, we're people, and we tend to identify with other people when we are experiencing power. There is this distinct human and dangerous tendency to want power to have a face, to have a name. We need it personified. And so we identify not with principles or not with justice as God would express it, but instead with an individual, a person who for us becomes a celebrity, a projection of ourselves and our own desires. And so instead of seeing a principled interest of a nation, or a call to justice, or the well-being of a people or a community, we become focused on a single soul, a soul with all of its flaws and appetites and hubris, and fixate on them rather than looking through to God's purpose. And the danger in that is that that tendency is the human propensity to create idols, things that we worship and focus on instead of God's justice. And that blight is a blight that impacts all of us. That is a danger whenever human beings organize themselves, up to and including the whole church thing we do. There are plenty of pastors who use Machiavelli, although they wouldn't say so. Our challenge, as the psalmist invokes it, is to look towards justice in our every choice. And in this strange and challenging year in the life of our nation, understanding that we do not need, want, or desire the power of princes, those whose wealth and influence defines them, that's worth holding in mind. It's not going to be an easy year, but it will be a time in which our faith can provide some guidance. Open yourself to what it is that is important to God. Let that guide you, and let that be so, for you and for me. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Williams, for an inspiring message. The congregation from Poolsville Presbyterian Church would like to thank you, the listener, for joining us, and we hope that today's message helps you grow in God's grace. We end today's message with our benediction.
A little guidance feels like it would be a helpful thing for me and for so many others in this season of that we seem to be living through. Well, it's probably the hardest thing about reading Machiavelli's little book is there were points where, given how unpleasant things can be in our nation at this point in time, where I found myself thinking, you know, this seems like a better system he's describing here, which is not good. It's not a good thing. No. The challenge I think all of us face as we are trying to walk our way through life in the world now is that our world is so polarized, and that politics has sort of become branded, where leaders are brand names more than they are people. And a brand is not a real thing, and the imagined person that we see isn't real. And the challenge we have to hold before us as we walk into this season is to hold in front of us the demand of the psalmist when it comes to what we look for in our society. What is God's will? Where lies God's purpose in this place where princes and powers and celebrities define us? And the answer to that is, as it has always been through the ages, God's will is justice for the oppressed. God's will is the feeding of the hungry. God's will is that the strangers among us are cared for. God's will is that those who have not and who are put down are lifted up. That is something we can lose sight of. But in this season, in the midst of the fighting, in the midst of the distractions, in the midst of the call of power and princes, that is what we are asked to hold in front of us. Keep that as your guide in this season. Hold that song as a witness. It'll help us stay at least partially sane. So walk out into the crazy and try to hang on to what is good. So now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with all of us today, tomorrow, and our whole lives long. Amen.